This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. And a little later in the program, I'm going to be playing a book buzz that was created by Bria Burton, who is going to be the guest host next Tuesday. And one of her guests is a great sci-fi author, Daniel Schwabauer, I have to say that properly. Anyway, his book is called Maxine Justice, A Galactic Attorney. So what does that mean for all of us? That no matter how far we go into space, there's still going to be an ambulance chasing attorney. But right now all of you know I have a love-hate relationship with attorneys, but there is an attorney I love, perhaps because she's retired, and I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper, Leslie Karst, and the name of her new book is Molten Death, and it is the first in her Orchid Isle mystery series. And hi, Leslie.
Hi, Patsy. Hey, you know, I'm actually a recovering attorney. I no longer. I'm safe. But that Galactic Attorney sounds fun. I might have to check that book out.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, when I got it, I thought, oh, I'd never escape it. I've gone through so much with attorneys. And I must say, I enjoy the recovering ones better. But I'm so happy to have you back on Joy on Paper. I just want to remind my listeners that Leslie is the author of a great book I've talked about many times, Justice is Served, A Tale of Scallops, The Law, and Cooking for RBG, and that is, of course, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and that book, which is a true story, was so much fun, and of course, it proved that you are a food lover.
True indeed.
Yeah, that's pretty high up when you get to cook for RBG. So that's great.
And that book, by the way, I just found out a couple weeks ago that book, Justice is Served, is a finalist for the Independent Book Publishers Association Benjamin Franklin Award. So I'm guaranteed a silver medal in it, and they're going to award it in a couple weeks. So it'll either be a gold or a silver winner. So I'm really excited about that.
Wow, you deserve it. It's a great book.
Thank you.
I loved it. And of course, I also love your other series, the Sally Solari series, which is, again, a food lover's dream. But the new one, set in Hawaii. Now, I will say, I said set in Hawaii, but when I was raised saying Hawaii, because one of my uncles, who was in Hawaii, his leg was full of shrapnel, and he used to sit and tell us stories about his life there, and the kids would wait to see if any of the shrapnel would come out of his legs, like it always did. So it's a pretty gross memory.
in Hawaii, as many people do call it, we call that talk story, when somebody tells a story. And yes, there's a... You know, my understanding is that with the Hawaiian language, that it, depending on the area you are, some pronounce the W as a V and some don't. But it's becoming much more and more common to pronounce it Hawaii.
Yeah, well, which I like better. And I love, you know, I've had many authors on with stories set in Hawaii. And I love that right at the beginning of your book, first you have a map, and I always love books that have maps in the front, and then you have a note on the grammar and language, and one of the things that you mention, and this is so funny, you mentioned the macaron, which, of course, for anyone who studied Latin, we were used to them, because they are marks above a letter, and and it is not Emmanuel Macron. He's not.
I know. Nor is it the macaroon or the Macarena.
Yes. So, but I love that you have that, you know, for a word lover.
It's the line that it appears over vowels that designates that it's a longer vowel than normal.
Yeah, I love that you put it at the front, and then at the back you have this wonderful glossary. Really, really great. So let's get into
it. I'm glad you appreciated that.
Yeah, you know, it's always so exciting to be in at the birth of a new series. I get so excited because I remember when Carol J. Perry, she was the first guest in the studio, and that was back in 2015. And she is now, that was her first book. Just recently, she came out with her 15th book in her Witch City Mystery series. So I've watched it through these years, 9 years that I've been doing this. And it's just been so much fun to see how her characters progressed over the years. And now with the new book, and I love the title, Orchid Isle Mystery. What a great name for a series.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I wanted, you know, that is sort of the... another name for the Big Island of Hawaii, because what we call the Big Island is that name of that island is Hawaii. It's where the name of the island chain and where the name of the state came from. But it's confusing because if you just say I'm going to Hawaii, they don't know which island they're going to. So people started calling it the Big Island because it's the biggest island. But it's also known locally as the Orchid Island because the east side of the island where my book is largely set, is tropical and has beautiful flowers, and they're famous for their orchids. So,
well, I like that. I think that's a better name for it, Orchid Isle. I love it.
Yeah.
So, it's now, of course, you've had the experience of having a long series. How many books are there in the Sally Solari series?
There are 6 books in that mystery series.
6 in that series, and now starting, so I bet you've learned a lot over the years what you needed to start off with, and maybe a little planning, because when you do the first book, you know, the first series, you're not sure how long it's going to last.
Exactly. I mean, when I wrote that first book in the Sally Solari series, Dying for a Taste, at the time it was my first mystery I'd ever written, my first novel I'd ever written and finished, and I didn't know if it was going to be picked up by anybody, and if so, whether or not they would want to make a series out of it. So you have to write this book that stands alone in case it isn't a series, yet that could go on and be a series if it ends up being that. So it's very tricky. Now, for this new series, I have a 2-book contract for it, so I know there will be at least 2, and I'm almost done writing the second one.
And you can plan a little bit better, because sometimes I have one cozy mystery author. Her books have just continued on and on, but it's happened so rapidly and with so many other things in her life that she realized, you know, she never did like a story Bible. She never did.
I've never done that either. You know, everybody says, do a story Bible, but I never did. I'm one of those people that has to go back and look things up constantly. What color was that person's car?
Exactly.
I should have started. To do it now, though, would be, it's a little too late.
Well, you're on book one, book two. There's going to be a lot in this series. Because what is wonderful about, well, there's many things wonderful about this series. First, the food. I mean, you're great at describing food, talking about food, writing about food, writing about picking out. you can take us to a market. I love it.
Well, good. I'm glad I appreciate that. I do have a degree in culinary arts. Now, I don't think my passion for writing about food is because of my degree. I think I went to get the degree because of my passion about food. But it certainly helped me with writing about the restaurant business, because in the first series, Sally, his family owns a restaurant, and then she ends up inheriting another restaurant. And in this new series, it's not specifically set in a restaurant, at least not the first book isn't. But yes, there's plenty of food because I love it.
Exactly. And that's Hawaii, because you can get fresh food, you can go to the market and get everything fresh. And so that makes it a real joy. And then you came out with a wonderful idea for the characters and how to build on this. And it's nice to know when, you know, as you said, with the first one, you had to sort of make sure that you didn't have anything dangling or not too much. But here you have a little bit more leeway. So tell us about the characters and give us a glimpse into this world, this new cozy mystery world that you've created.
All right. So it's called Molten Death. And yes, that is but it's also sort of a pun on molten lava cake, because yes, it's about food too. But so my characters are Valerie Corbin, who is about to turn 60. She celebrates her 60th birthday on the island, and her wife Kristen, and they've come to the Big Island of Hawaii from Los Angeles area, and so that's sort of a fish out of water story. And what happens is Valerie's never been to Hawaii before, and Kristen's surfing buddy with whom they're staying, Isaac, agrees to take them out to see the hot flowing lava. And this happens in the first chapter of the book. And it's been raining constantly because they're in Hilo, and Valerie's like, this is not Hawaii. There's black lava everywhere, rock. Not so much in Hilo, but when they land, that's what it looks like. And then it's been pouring rain every day, and she's kind of disgruntled. And he says, well, it's supposed to be sunny this weekend. I'm going to take you out to see the hot flowing lava. And they're like, okay, great. So they get up really early, and they hike out to see it. And Isaac and Kristen go off to take some pictures, and Valerie says, I just want to sit here and look at this because it's magnificent, this orange, white, viscous rock flowing, creeping down the to the ocean, and it's really hot and steamy, and if you've never seen it, if you have seen it, it's pretty darn awesome in the true meaning of that word. So she's looking at it, and she sees a boot sitting in the lava, and she's like, why would somebody throw a boot out there, and what? And then this disconnect happens because she realizes that it's actually still attached to a human leg in a body, which is being covered over by that hot lava. And as she watches, to her horror, it just disappears under the molten rock. And she freaks out and runs, and then, of course, they haven't seen it, and they're like, yeah, it's probably just a boot. And so she realizes that they don't really believe her. And to try to prove her sanity and also get justice for this, whoever it is, she sets out to try and discover the mystery of the body in the lava. But since she's never been to Hawaii before, she, along with the reader who may never have been to Hawaii before, sort of learns about the culture as she travels through this book. My intention in writing the book was it's basically a love letter to the Big Island and Hilo and the east side of the island in particular, because I've been living there now half-time for 17 years and visiting there since 1990, and I just wanted to show my readers the Hawaii that isn't the touristy tiki bars and white sand beaches and coconut palms. By the way, those are great. I have nothing against them, and they do exist there, but there's so much more on the island. It has such a rich, interesting, diverse culture. So there you go. That's a little bit of that's well, longer than an elevator pitch.
And so a new amateur sleuth is born.
Yes, exactly.
And so we're led through, you know, what's wonderful about a series like this, and when you have to think about it, you have to put in red herrings, you have to put in all sorts of misdirection, which you're right. Good at, and additional characters, which really bring out the story. And in this case, I think you've thrown into the mix a local boy. And tell us a little bit about Isaac and why you brought him in and what he's going to be doing.
I love Isaac. I knew I needed somebody to be a connection between these two Haoles, which is the term of art that's used there for basically people of European descent. It's not a bad thing. It's just a descriptive word. And so there are these two Haoles that have come to the island, and he's a local boy, which in Hawaii means generally a mix of the many different cultures that came to the island or were brought to the island to work the sugarcane and pineapple plantations back in the 1800s, early 1900s. So he's a mix of Hawaiian, Portuguese. He's probably Hawaiian Portuguese, and maybe I don't know. I'm not sure exactly, but they tend to. There's also Chinese, Japanese, Filipino. Isaac probably has some Filipino in him, and that is the culture that tends to speak Pidgin, which is the local language or Creole. Spoken on the island among what are called locals, which are those people that I described. And I wanted, so he grew up there, he knows the island really well, and he is a little bit sort of their tour guide, so to speak. He's the connection to them, to the island culture that neither Kristen nor Valerie would have access to otherwise. And he's a lot of fun. He's a great character. I loved writing him, and his girlfriend is this woman named Sachiko, who is of Japanese descent, because in Hilo, where the book largely takes place and where I live half time, has a very large Japanese Hawaiian population, so I really wanted to show that through my book. And so Sachiko's in there, and she's great. I love her, and they're a fun couple.
Well, they're a great addition, and anybody who has read James Michener's Hawaii, mm-hmm. they know about the mixture of cultures that, you know, are encompassed sort of Hawaii. That was one of my favorite books. I remember when I read that book the first time, and I was like, it was so thrilling, and it took us there, and I think so much of it was accurate, the depiction of the different types of people who came to Hawaii, and so I love it. And you capture this. I think you capture so much of the beauty of of the island, of the people, and that really shines through the book. I think it's what makes it so very special.
Well, thank you. That was my intent. So I'm glad you enjoyed that aspect of it.
Because, as you said, most people think of it just as the white beaches, those tall, tall buildings along the beach, which, I don't know, sort of like going to the city with a white beach. So it's not the same. And when you get out
right,
there...
Right, and don't get me wrong, I love that. I mean, I love going to Waikiki for a few days. It's super fun. There's a reason people go there.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
an absolutely breathtakingly beautiful place. I love me a good tiki bar and a tiki cocktail. In fact, there's a recipe in the book for Val's Mai Tai because the real Mai Tais aren't sickeningly sweet are very delicious.
You are my kind of gal because it's been written about you that you enjoy a good cocktail.
I do.
At 5 o'clock. Exactly. And for me, that 5 o'clock, I lived in England for many years, and in those days, the pubs were closed from 3 to 5. And
right.
you had to wait for that first gin and tonic at 5 o'clock. And
it you just have to have tea between 3 and 5.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to. But it was so wonderful because, really, when you would have this wait, you'd have all these people, starting around 4:30, they'd start showing up, and there'd be benches outside in front of the pubs, and you'd sit there. And it was real camaraderie. You'd really make friends with everybody.
And it, waiting for your pint.
it created loyalty to your favorite pub. It really did. And that first gin and tonic at 5 o'clock, that was the best of the day.
The first cocktail is always the best. You don't want to have too many, but there's nothing like that first sip.
Exactly. So I thought that was great that you included a recipe. One of the things I enjoy so much about Cozy Mysteries is that they really do take you to a place. And when it's something like this, where you also have an exotic place that you really, you're in your mind, you want to travel. And I think that's wonderful. I think it also will encourage a lot of people. That sounds good. Let's take a trip. Of course, we don't all want to find a body and a boot. But
no, we don't. But it's not. Yes, if you're armchair traveling, it's okay if you find a body. Not so much when you're really traveling yourself.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about when I I mentioned, you know, of course, Sally Solari and your love of food there. And you've been going there for so many years. Tell us a little bit more about how exciting it is when you do marketing there. And you get great
marketing. Marketing where?
In the island where you go to the markets where they have fresh fish and fresh
shopping market. I was thinking you meant like book publicity marketing.
Oh, not book marketing.
Where my brain is. I'd much rather talk about grocery shopping.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Hilo has a very famous farmer's market, and it's just wonderful. It used to just be mostly on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but now it's gotten so popular that every day of the week there are dozens and dozens of food vendors with, as you mentioned, incredible tropical fruit, star fruit, lychee, apple bananas, pineapples, mangoes, the little beautiful sweet rainbow papayas. It's just... And for really great prices. I mean, it used to be you could get six papayas for a dollar. Now you have to pay $2 for six. Aw. But also local cheeses and grass-fed beef, because in the north part of the Big Island up in Waimea is the second, I think it's still the second largest privately owned cattle ranch in the United States, the Parker Ranch. Homemade food, spam musubi, which is really, really delicious, and sushi and things. And then across the street, there's a craft fair every day, and it's just marvelous. And it's next door to my favorite grocery store, which is the locally owned KTA. And so I'll go and buy my fruit and vegetables there, and then I'll go into KTA, and they have an incredibly great Asian food market aisle. Because there are so many people of Japanese and Chinese descent on the island, and just all incredible foods. And so I'll sometimes just go there and grab something at random, not knowing what it is, and take it home and cook it. It's really fun. So, yeah, I love shopping and eating there. People, well, you know, a lot of mainlanders gripe about the cost of food on the Big Island, and it is true that if you want to eat, you know, what I call howly food, you know, bread, milk, cottage cheese, things like that that aren't so much part of the Asian diet, it can be expensive because they have to fly them there. You know, you can't ship milk on a barge. It'll go bad. But if you buy what the locals eat, rice, fresh vegetables, fish, oh, the fish there is incredible and it's so cheap. It's much cheaper than it is here. So, yeah, it's fun. Oh, now I'm dreaming about that mahi-mahi. Oh, no, fish.
I know. Well, it's always better. It doesn't matter where you travel. If you go to Italy, if you go outside of the major cities and you don't order anything on Wonder Bread, you always find such great food. In the smallest village, you'll come across a market and the food will be so great. The bread will be so great. Everything, you know, you need to do that. And I think one of the things that will happen here when people read this new series, which I think is just going to be a real hit. And because it is, it's just your writing. Of course, your writing is so excellent. You know, I still, when I look back and look at your writing, it's really, you know, you have that ability to really create a vivid scene and take us to a place and of course create these characters, which I think you have a lot of growth here for the characters that you've already introduced to us.
Right. Yeah, that's the hope, is that they can grow over the series, and the reader can sort of watch them as they go this way or that.
Well, you are a multi-talented person, in addition to having gone to law school and all those years we don't want to talk about, because I can't deal with lawyers right now. But you're also a potter. There must be interesting pottery going on in Hawaii.
Right, my mother, I wasn't a potter, but my mother was a potter. And she she spent a lot of time on the Big Island. That's how my wife and I discovered it, is because my mom and dad were spending so much time there. And my mother had her ceramics for sale up at the Volcano Art Center gallery. She was great. Yeah.
So what a great connection. What a great connection, because I love pottery. I love, well, I used to do. I used to get my hands into the clay. I love it. And so you have a lot going on with that. Of course, your love of food. I think you like animals. And as I said, we'll get back to that love of a good cocktail at 5 o'clock. So there's so much to offer here. But tell us, I think you've also done some exciting things recently. Were you around for the eclipse?
I was. Robin and I came back from Hawaii earlier than we normally do to the mainland, specifically to go and see the eclipse. So we were back in California, where I live half-time, in Santa Cruz, and we were here 5 days. We dropped all our stuff, flew to Tulsa, and then rented a car, long road trip visiting friends in Arkansas and Texas. And then we were deep in the heart of Texas in a town called Goldthwaite. To see the eclipse, and it was really great. It's just so bizarre seeing the sun just get blacked out like that, and then seeing the corona, because you wear these glasses as the eclipse is waxing and waning to protect your eyes, but then as soon as it goes to totality, you can take the glasses off and you can see the corona of the sun around. Coming out, peeking out from behind the moon, and we actually saw a solar flare at about 4 o'clock. Bright red solar flare coming out. It was really quite astounding. So I'm really glad I did that. Kind of a once in a lifetime thing. I don't know that I'll go to Spain in 2 years to see it again, but that was pretty impressive.
Well, that was a wonderful thing to do. I was really impressed with all the people who were ready to travel long distances to see it. I didn't know.
We combined it with a road trip because I had a lot of friends out there, and so it was really fun. I saw some of my fellow mystery authors, and it was did double duty.
And, of course, maybe did a little marketing along the way. It's wonderful when you can get together with other mystery writers and discuss how to market these books.
Exactly. Well, then I flew from Dallas. After the 2 days after the eclipse, I flew from Dallas up to Seattle to go to this marvelous mystery writers convention called Left Coast Crime, which, for any of you mystery buffs out there, it's a fan convention. And so there are a lot of authors there, but the fans come in their panels, and you get to meet people, and a lot of personal connections between the readers and the writers, and it's just marvelous. And so I was there for 5 days on panel discussions, and one of my last Sally Solari book was nominated for one of the awards, so it was really fun. Yeah, but I just got back 2 days ago, finally, to Santa Cruz.
So you've been on the go, and as you said, you finished book two?
It's due in July, so I'm getting there.
Okay, so generally speaking, when you're working, how many words a day do you do?
Oh, gosh, it really varies. It depends on how close to the deadline I am. Frankly, in the last 2 weeks, I haven't written a word because I've been on the road. I've been writing blog posts and doing marketing and stuff, but I haven't written my manuscript. But this week, I'm going to get back to it. But it varies anywhere between 500 and 2,000. It just depends on the... If I only do a book a year, I know some people that do two a year, and I couldn't imagine doing that. And so it actually gives you a fair amount of time. If you write 1,000, 2,000 words a day, 5 days a week, you'll get it done before you think. My books tend to end up at about 70,000 words. So as long as I'm persistent and keep at it, I don't have to write all day long or anything. My brain, after about 2-3 hours, I'm ready to knock off and do something else. I want to keep myself fresh, but...
And, of course, there's always the research that you have to do, like going to restaurants and finding...
Yeah, that's so hard. It's so hard.
Oh, I know.
Restaurants and doing research. You should all feel sorry for me.
I do, yeah. For a foodie mystery author, you really have to sympathize with the amount of time and energy they have to put into going to restaurants and checking out... of the food. Oh, I feel so sorry for you.
I see Jack Benny's violin coming out of its case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you poor thing. You poor thing. So, it's, I don't know, does the IRS let you deduct these restaurant bills?
The restaurant, they probably would, but I don't, because to be honest, I don't eat out as research for my book. I eat out because I love to eat out, and then I incorporate all that into the books, but no, I don't. I mean, but I think technically that's a gray area.
A gray area. Probably get you audited, but you do have to, there are expenses involved. People don't realize that. For many authors now, of course, if it's someplace where you're living and it's sort of in your backyard, as a matter of fact, where you live, how close are you to a volcano? And how many times have you gone to an actual volcano, one of the exciting ones that...
How often have I seen hot lava?
Yeah.
Oh, dozens and dozens of times. Because over the years, the lava flow that Valerie, Kristen, and Isaac go out to see in the beginning of the book is based on a real one that started in 1983, I think, is when Pu'u'o'o first fountain and erupted. And it continued to flow on and off. It stopped occasionally and then would start up again until 2018, which is when my book takes place. We would hike out there. I've probably been out there 20 times. And then I've also seen a couple other flows other than that. We hiked out once to see what an ah-ah flow. Well, it actually was the same flow, but there's two kinds of lava. There's what's called pohoihoi, which is the hot, viscous stuff, the molten stuff that you see when you think of lava. And there's this other kind that's called ah-ah, which is onomatopoetic, because when it's more like just a mound of rocks that are hot, that sort of march forward, and when they dry, they're very, very sharp and jagged, hence the name that the Hawaiians gave it. And we hiked out once to see one of those, and that was bizarre, very strange. And then 2 years ago, Mauna Loa erupted and came down towards the Saddle Road, which crosses the middle of the island, and we drove up, and we brought cocktails and sat on our lounge chairs and watched it. So that was pretty impressive. So yeah, I've been out to see the lava a lot. I'm kind of a lava junkie.
But do you live in a safe place?
Define safe is technically in the line of. I mean, it could be hit by a flow from Mauna Loa. In fact, back in 1984, I think it was, the lava came within about 2 miles of Hilo. But the thing you have to realize is that Mauna Loa is the biggest mountain in the world, if you count, because it rises up from the seafloor. So if you count that, it's massive, and above sea level, it's 14,000 feet. And the lava could come out at any point and come down at any point. And so statistically speaking, to have it actually come to one specific place is, the chances are small. So we're what I think it's what's known as Lava Zone 2, I believe. I can't remember. We're at the low end. I can't remember if it's the high, the ones that's high or low. But we have a risk, but it's not considered a very high risk as far as the insurance companies are concerned. So we deem ourselves. I don't worry. It's not something I worry about. Nor do I worry about tsunamis because we're about a mile uphill from the water. So I feel pretty confident. The house was built in 1935. It's still there.
1935.
It's an old plantation house. It's a beautiful home.
Wow. So mm-hmm. It went through Pearl Harbor, remember?
It did indeed, yeah, although on a different island, but yes.
Wow, yeah, that's quite unusual to have such an old house, I think, isn't it?
Oh no, there are lots of houses from the 30s. They started building wood structures in the late 1800s. There's a house that's now called the Lyman Museum. It's the oldest wooden structure in Hilo, and I think it dates from the late 1800s. There are a lot of houses from the 30s. That's when a lot of the building, the plantation-style home is called that because I think a lot of the managers of the plantations would live in them, and it's sort of a wood, you know, wood siding, metal roof, as many of the homes in the islands have, because it's not, you know, there's single wall construction, so it's the same temperature indoors as out. So if you see me on Facebook complaining that it's 63 degrees, it means it's 63 degrees in our house. And that's cold. And it's humid. Yeah. So you'll see me bundled up.
Yeah, I was going to say that's cold for Hawaii.
Yeah.
Have you done a research on all the owners who have lived in that house?
Our house only had, we're the third owner. The original owners owned it until about year 2000 or 2002. And then this other guy bought it, and I think he plan was he was going to live in it, but he lived in Washington State, and then he ended up, and he fixed it. He put on a new roof and repainted everything, and then he realized it didn't work out, and then he sold it, and we bought it. So it's virtually just one owner. It's a beautiful home.
Wow. That's fantastic. I think I love it. I love this connection to history. I love the idea of it. Of course, I had a cottage that was built from, it was the beams from a sunken ship off of the coast of England.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, this is in England, of course, my cottage. It was had quite a history. But I wasn't able to actually find too much about the owners. Everybody asked me, was it haunted? And I'm not sure about that. There were moments. But I think it's a wonderful story. And so just to get back to Molten Death, an Orchid Isle mystery, the first in what I predict is going to be a long-running series, because you have wonderful characters, of course, beautifully written. Tell us about your website, where people can find out more about you. You mentioned you have a blog, and people can find out more.
So the website is just lesliekarstauthor.com, and it's Karst is K-A-R-S-T. On it, you can read about all my two different series, and then also the memoir I wrote about cooking for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You can read all about that there, and they have links to buy them if you want. There's also, I like to tell people this because it's part of me that most people don't know who only have met me recently. But back in the day, I was a singer-songwriter and performer, I had a country rock band called Electric Range, which you can listen to the songs if you go to my website. Just do the drop-down menu that says songwriter, and we were sort of like Everly Sisters style. My sister and I sang tight harmonies and with sort of country rock. It's quite fun. Anyway, I blog in two different places. The one of them is called Chicks on the Case, and we are eight mystery writers, and we blog on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. It's a lighthearted blog. It's quite fun. We have guests. We tell fun stories, oddball things, quirky stories and things. Check it out. And then I also am one of the bloggers with Mystery Lovers Kitchen, which, as you might have guessed, is a bunch of mystery authors who write culinary mysteries. And every day of the week, there is a new recipe with photos showing how to prepare it. And so I'm part of that, and that's an awful lot of fun.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper, the radio program, Leslie Karst. I love your writing, and I understand you've accepted my invitation to be on Joy on Paper Live, my YouTube channel, so we can actually show some of the photos of your food and of different things, including we can play some of your music. How about that?
Sure, that'd be fun.
Okay.
I love that.
So, again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank
everybody,
you, Patsy. I love coming on your show. It's always really good fun.
Well, I just enjoy talking to you. So we're going to talk more soon. And the name of the book is Molten Death by Leslie Karst. It's K-A-R-S-T. And it is the first in her new Orchid Isle mystery series. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Aloha, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye now. Wow. Oh, she's so nice. She's so nice. I want to talk. You know, she's a former lawyer, recovering lawyer. And in a minute, we're going to play Book Buzz for Daniel Schwabauer. I'm going to get that right. Schwabauer. Daniel Schwabauer. And he is going to be a guest on next Tuesday on our Sci-Fi Hour, hosted by Bria Burton. And so I wanted to just play this Book Buzz for his previous book, but the new book that we're going to be talking about, or Bria is going to be talking about next week, is called Maxine Justice, and it's called Galactic Attorney. And as I said, we'll never get away from attorneys. And Maxine Justice is an ambulance-chasing lawyer. I love it. And she's desperate for relevance and cash, and aren't they all? And so when a bunch of aliens hire her to represent them at the United Nations, she's off for a big case. It's going to be, this book is just, I get a kick out of this. I love it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Galactic Attorney. Anyway, so let's play. We're going to play a Book Buzz that Bria did for Daniel. And then I'll come back and talk a little bit more.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2021 military science fiction thriller, Operation Grendel, by Daniel Schwabauer. The novel is available in print, ebook, and audiobook with stellar narration by Adam Verner. Now, let's download the book buzz. The Grendels have invaded Quelon, and it's up to Corporal Raymond Dahl, a military journalist, to expose the truth to all five Edge colonies, now in danger of being invaded by shock troops, but worse, invaded by their AI worms in the form of a forced sim collar, which would effectively turn every man, woman, and child into a Grendel. The United Colonies fleet is ready to offer the Grendels a treaty after massive losses, and the Edge colonies would be left to fend for themselves. However, when the PsyOps officer who assigned the war story exposé to Corporal Dahl gets killed on the way to the peace talks, Dahl's new mission becomes far more complex. He must now stand in as the ambassador for the peace talks himself. In other words, he has to lie in order to tell the truth. And worse, his own benign AI may have been compromised. This edge-of-your-seat military thriller, set in a distant star system, explores deep philosophical questions about the nature of truth, propaganda, artificial intelligence, and the cost of freedom. Author Daniel Schwabauer studied under science fiction great James Gunn before graduating with honors from Kansas University's master's program in creative writing in 1995.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Looking for inspiration? Looking for something that will intrigue you? Then this book is for you. Jim Lamb's poems start out as caterpillars, creepy, crawly, and raw. Then a miracle happens as they transform into colorful, bright, and conspicuous works of art. You can find Jim's new book of poetry, Hurting Butterflies, at Amazon.com. It's the perfect gift for the book lover in your life, even if it's you. Hurting Butterflies, the perfect holiday gift, available on Amazon. Get Hurting Butterflies.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With the C, and I am back, and I have a few minutes to talk again about, well, I want to mention again the new book by Daniel Schwabauer, which, well, it's not a new book, but it's a book that they're going to be discussing next week on the Sci-Fi Hour with Bria Burton, and I'm so grateful for Bria for doing this Sci-Fi Hour every month, because I get so many, many wonderful compliments on her interviews, and of course on her book buzzes that all of the sci-fi authors really appreciate. You can go to Joy on Paper Live, and we did an interview there with, she hosted an interview with three sci-fi authors, and it's a fascinating interview. So I hope you'll go there, check out Joy on Paper Live and the interview that Bria did with three sci-fi authors. And the new book, well, the book that we're going to talk, she's going to talk about next week is Maxine Justice, Galactic Attorney, which it just gives me such a kick. I just love it. I just love it. I'm always ready to listen to stories about lawyers. My goodness. Someday I'm going to finish my book about lawyers. Well, maybe that'll be the last thing I'll do, because they'll get me if I ever release it. But anyway, I just want to talk also. I had mentioned in my interview with Leslie Karst, a cozy mystery author, I mentioned Carol J. Perry, and she has a book coming up in June, and it is it's a great book. It's a third in her Haunted Haven mystery series, which is that sort of in my backyard on the Gulf Coast. She made up a town, but it's basically all around this sort of St. Petersburg, Clearwater area. And it is called Haven, Florida. And this is a wonderful thing about being an author. You can do your own world building. And she has created Haven, Florida. And there she brought in one of these northerners who came down to live in Florida and to take over the Haven Inn, which is a lovely inn. And again, Carol J. Perry discovered a place similar to that in our area. And it's one of those old inns with a lovely porch and those rocking chairs. Oh, how I love a line of rocking chairs. There is nothing so... It's just so much fun when you see a line of rocking chairs, and there's something enticing about them. You just want to sit down and rock. And so this is what Carol J. Perry has done with her Haunted Haven series. She takes us to the Haven Inn, which, of course, being a cozy mystery author with a touch of the paranormal, she has peopled it with a lot of interesting characters. And Maureen Doherty, who is her main character and who has come down from Massachusetts. She's a transplant, one of those people who wanted to get out. Well, she wanted to get out of the cold, and then she inherited it in. It's a really wonderful series. For the first book, Carol received the prized star from Publishers Weekly and the Star Review. And so this new one, which is called Haunting License. I love the cover because we have her, of course, in her other series, Witch City Mysteries, she has a cat named Orion. But in the new series, she has a dog, a golden retriever, whose name is Finn. Now, being part Finnish, I, of course, right away gravitated to Finn. He's a wonderful dog, and on the cover, which is beautifully done by Kensington Publishing, Finn is fishing. And so it's a wonderful cover, and I love it. And it is available for pre-order, and it is the release date is, June 26th. And, of course, Carol J. Perry will be on Joy on Paper on that day, and we will talk about it. And she will tell us all about her characters and about some of the, you know, in Florida, we had a lot of famous people who came down. Well, we still do, but particularly in the 20s and 30s and 40s, they were coming down like crazy to be in our area. One of my favorite and who has been, in the Haunted Haven series, of course, is Babe Ruth. But the entire, let's just say, there are a lot of visitors to the Haven Inn who have not left. They have not departed, as was planned. So it makes for a fun read with a lot of wonderful characters. And I hope that you will pre-order. I just want to remind you that one of the nicest things you can do for an author, if you like an author, please pre-order. It takes you a minute. You'll get the book on the day that it's released. And the wonderful thing, you know, we're all authors are up against that mighty algorithm in the sky. And it depends, you know, it can change the way that a book is marketed. So if that great algorithm in the sky or floating down that big river sees that people are giving a book pre-orders, they help and they advertise it more. And so it stays right there floating on the top of the river and not sinking. So that is a wonderful gift that you can give to any author that you like and that you admire and whose books you enjoy. So pre-order Carol J. Perry's Haunting License. It's a great book. It's really fun. And it's all about a fishing contest, which I was in a fishing contest when I was little. You know, I'm a youper. I'm from Northern Michigan, and we had lots of fishing contests, and I was in one when I was very little. It was my only one that I was ever in, and I think I must have been five or six. I think it was before I started school, and I caught a fish. I really did. Well, I did. I caught a lot of fish in my life. So get that book, Haunting License by Carol J. Perry. And meanwhile, make sure you tune in on Thursday. I've got another great guest coming. And check out my new YouTube channel, Joy on Paper Live. And thank you so much. And thank you to all of you retired lawyers for contacting me. I love it when they start writing. Anyway, say something nice to somebody else. Say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. You are wonderful. I salute you. And I should have been a general. I would have been a better general. I can tell you, I would have been great. I'm decisive. I am decisive. Anyway, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now.